listening to our New Chapel podcast. We're for people to connect with God and be raised to new life in Christ. Be sure to connect with us at newchapel.com and on social media to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.
Morning, gang. Are you excited about the fourth and final part of our series, Paper Cuts? Excited about that today? Well, hey, my name is Joe Bevilacqua. I'm the lead pastor here. If you're watching online, I've heard that every time you share one of my preaching videos, an angel at Facebook loses their wings. And so, truly, though, this world's going through a dark time. Hit share and let's spread the light. And if you're a Christian in the room, pull out something to take notes on. We believe that God has something to say to all of us today, yeah? And also, I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians, but maybe you don't have a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, lift your hand. Ushers, come right down in front. We had that Bible sponsorship come through. We have free Bibles. Go ahead. You need a Bible? Take the Bible. If you're sitting next to somebody and they have a nicer Bible than the one we're offering, you can steal it because they're a Christian and they have to forgive you, okay? Let them just rip out the family history page, you know, but... In Ephesians chapter 5, if you would, I'm going to read this passage out of the Message, and then in Ephesians 6, in just one second, it's going to be in a translation you'll be able to track with a little better. This is what the Bible says, Ephesians 5:11. Don't waste your time on useless work, the barren pursuits of darkness. Expose these things for the sham that they are. Rip the cover off those frauds. That's Pastor Joe's life verse right now, everybody. And see how attractive they look in the light of Christ. Wake up from your sleep. Climb out of your coffins. Christ will show you the light. These are desperate times. Next chapter over in New King James Version, put on all the armor that God supplies. In this way, you can take a stand. Everybody say that word, take a stand against the devil's strategies. Then you will be able to take a stand during these evil days. We've been talking really about what's going on in culture. It's what we're all dealing with, right? That these are desperate times. These are really evil days. We can see in the air the result of the church not doing what they were called to do. Why are we in this spot? Because righteous people didn't do the right thing for a long time. And so what we need to do is figure out how to actually make impact, how to stand in a difficult situation. Now, in these desperate evil times, I believe that the church can stand in the gap. And we've used the example the entire month of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of the book of Daniel. You could flip there in Daniel 3. We'll stay there for a second. But in Daniel, it talks about these three Hebrew boys. And I say boys, I picture them my age. I'm pretty young, right? And these three guys, they were standing up in the midst of a lot of things in culture not going their way. And in fact, the way that the government presented this new law, this new religion to them was that they were going to play some music and that they were going to have to bow and that they were looking for 100% compliance. And the consequence was not just public ridicule, but if you didn't worship and dance and do everything that their government wanted you to do, the byproduct of that was that they would kill you. They'd put you in a fiery furnace, and it was the death penalty. And the amazing thing about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is that they made the decision to not bow. They said, this violates what we believe, guys. This is not what God has asked us to do. So we're going to stand while everyone else is bowing. And conventional wisdom would tell you, bow now. Don't cause a fuss because that way you don't have to bow later. You can take your stand later. But here's what we believe in the journey that we've been on as a church is we believe that if we don't stand now, we are going to lose our witness in this world, and we're not going to have the opportunity to stand at a later day. That we as the body of Christ, New Chapel, have to stand while everyone else is bowing and say, no, no, we are going to follow the work of God and pursue His best. And in the same way, I will tell you, New Chapel, just like those three Hebrew boys turned that nation of Babylon on its heels and revival broke out, I believe that when you stand, revival can break out in Western Michigan, our country, into the rest of the world. Can I get an amen, somebody? Okay, let me read for you Daniel 3:16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you. Pause. Y'all look at me. Remember that. This is the thesis of his argument, answering him, okay? We have no need to answer you in that matter. Point one, if that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will. He's not only able, but he's willing. Western Michigan needs to settle that in their heart. In fact, if you don't know what the will of God, it's going to cause you a lot of grief. And so what did they do? They said, he will deliver us from your hand, O king. They took their stand, but they also understood that he's willing and able. We talked about that last week, and we saw it. That when they were thrown into the fiery furnace, when the death sentence, the worst thing could happen, there was a fourth man with them, and it was the pre-incarnate Jesus. It was Jesus in the Old Testament. And ultimately, they were taken out of that thing, and they didn't even smell like smoke. The fire didn't burn them up. God protected them. See, we think that if we bow, then we won't burn, and the reality is this. If you trust government to that point, buddy, please see us at the altar after church today. If you bow, you'll still burn. They're going to get theirs. But ultimately, if you make the decision to stand, I'm talking about against ungodly things. We need to submit to the godly part of government. We want order. We're the law and order people, yeah? But at the same token, if you make the decision to stand, what everyone else in culture is bowing and it's not right to do, I'm telling you, you won't burn. God will see you through. Now, I believe that these boys were able to do that because they knew God. They knew him. We said that that word know there was geonosko, and it's to know someone by experiencing them. It's not knowing about them, or you know how we, just like everybody on your face list, except for maybe like five people are acquaintances, you know, like you know them, they come up, you're interested, like, oh, you got cute kids, you know, whatever, but like you don't know them. It's talking about knowing, and we said that in Romans that when we know God, we have eternal life. And in John 17, to know God is eternal life, to experience God. Not just to learn about him, but to experience him. And so these Hebrew boys had experienced God, and that was enough to trust in the worst circumstance, when they're facing a death penalty. Now, one thing I do like before I press on with today's message is the fact that they did it together. I haven't mentioned that this month yet. They did it together. They banded together. They had a support system within each other. These are your small groups, your prayer partners. They had network. And I got to tell you, in the year that we lived, you need somebody. I need somebody. I remember calling Pastor Josh Reese over at Vertical in Zealand, my buddy, or Pastor Tommy, and being like, am I crazy? What's going on? I can't understand what's happening. And you need somebody on the other end of the phone to receive that call who you feel good with. Because this world has lost its ever-loving mind, everybody. And sometimes you need to be like, I don't know if I got to fight this battle. I don't know if I want to die on that hill. Am I crazy? Help me. And you need somebody on the other end who says, no, you're not crazy. And we're not going to go along with this. They want us not to go to church. We're still going to church, right? We're not going to stop going to church because they say. We're just going to do because they say, right? We're not going to disobey what the word says because they say. No, you're not crazy. We're going to stand. And that's a support system, listen to me, New Chapel, you need in this world. So many of you are new to the church in the last several weeks, and you're finding those relationships. Some of you are like 007 Christian. You slip in, slip out. You're just not talking to anybody. Just you even get the coffee while you're still moving. I want to let you know I still see you, and you need a relationship. It's not so important that you know me. I want to know you, but we didn't build this church on personality, did we? It's important that you know somebody, and they can help you get through this wild, wild world. Now, today, I want to bring you a message from the very next verse in this passage out of Daniel chapter 3, and if you really grasp onto it, I think it'll change your life forever. It's really a game changer. Daniel 3 and verse 18. They say, but if not, remember that, I'm going to clarify that in a second, but if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. This has been taken to mean that if God delivers us or if God does not deliver us. But let me just tell you, that's not what they're saying. I want to show you that, because some of you are like, that's a great motive, whether God does it or doesn't. I'm saying that's a great motive, but that's not scriptural here. That's not what it's saying. Throw up that whole passage. I want to teach you to this concept in the whole passage in context. So they start by saying, "Oh Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you." There's the thesis. That's the argument they're trying to make. Point one: if we do have to answer you, if that is the case, you could say, "Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us, and He will deliver us." Right? Point two, but if not. Not but if not he delivers us, it's but if not. If we have to answer you or if we don't have to answer you, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you've set up. Well, Pastor, I still don't see it. Okay, wait a second. Godly people are just saying he will deliver us. He's not saying he will deliver us and then immediately questioning it. So this is not a time in the Bible where they're saying if God does it or if God doesn't do it. What they're saying is no matter what. Doesn't matter how it plays out. I don't know the details. I'm not God. It doesn't matter how you respond to this government. You hear me? You can say whatever you want. If you want to embarrass yourself and I have to answer you in this matter, fine, I'll answer you. But if not, if you want to take your ball and go home like you should, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to make it very clear either way, I'm not going to bow. Amen. Why is that such an important distinction, Pastor Joe? That's where your family is living right now. That's where you're at. And these guys had a faith, they had a conviction that surpassed the demonic cultural pressure that was all over them. And I'm sure that they had their own expectations about how God would do it. We all go that way, right? We all think he's going to do it a certain way. We all think he's going to answer it in this way. But I've come to the spot in my faith where I'm not going to burn. This is going to work out in my favor. I know God's will for my life. He's shown me too many things in the future. I'm not dying now. That's not how this plays out. But at the same time, even if my expectations of God fail, I know that God never fails. Do you see it? It's a trust that says no matter what. It doesn't have to play out the way I think it is. I'll do whatever you've called me to do, God. I'm going to stand no matter what it costs me, no matter the outcome, no matter how many of my friends ostracize me, I'm going to stand because it doesn't matter what everybody thinks. We don't take a vote on my faith life. I'm going to stand before God. Say amen, somebody. Hallelujah. So like no matter what, I'm not going to bow no matter what. So let's wrestle with that question for just a minute. What would it cost you to make you bow? Don't answer. Let me tell you why don't answer. There's a poll that came out not too long ago. 72% of Americans profess faith. And when I read that, I was like, yes, we're winning. 7% actually say that profession of faith affects their daily life. And so when we see everything that happened in 2020 and 2021, don't get mad at those poll statistics. I think it actually just played out, didn't it? Where you saw a couple little islands of people being like, I'm not bound to Nebuchadnezzar, no matter what she writes up in her little diary, I'm not doing it. Stop. I'm going to stand. I'm going to stand when it's not popular. We're going to open the church. Well, you can't open anything. Well, I got keys. You know, like, we're opening the church. Where, you love your pastor. Where is that no matter what faith? No matter what happens. I'm not bowing to this thing. I'm going to tell you something. Only a no matter what faith wins a generation. Only a no matter what faith actually sees revival and stops just talking about it for decades. It's a no matter what faith that actually makes that difference. Conditional faith and revival don't mix. You don't get it your way. This isn't Burger King church. You know what I mean? Like it just doesn't gel. So what does this look like, Pastor Joe? I'm so glad y'all asked. Y'all set me up so well. Turn those new little Bibles I got you to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11. It's towards the end. Just helping you out. It's towards the end. Hebrews chapter 11. Now this passage in the Bible is called the Faith Hall of Fame. And it's got stories about Abraham and Moses and Rahab and Noah and David and these incredible men and women of God. You should read it on your own time. For those of you who like extra study, that's a good thing for you. But it says this at the end. This is the way that it concludes it all in Hebrews 11, verse 33. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms. Sounds like a riot. Ruled with justice and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. Women received their loved ones back again from death. It's actually citing a story about Rahab earlier in that chapter, but it's talking about this miraculous faith where it's like, yeah, come on, we're getting results. But where's the no matter what message, Pastor Joe? I'm glad you asked. Verse 35. But others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. And by the way, any form of godliness or freedom that asks you to turn from the gospel, it's not real freedom. It might not be chained, but it's not free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. These are people saying, it doesn't matter what it costs me. It doesn't matter. I'm in, no matter what, God, right? It continues on, verse 36. Some were jeered at, and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prison. Some died by stoning, and some were sawed in half. Others were killed with a sword. There's an altar call at New Chapel. Come on up here. You really prove your faith. We're going to whip you, you know? Believe me, I have a short list, but, you know, like, that's a lot, right? And listen, you suffering does not equal you being righteous, okay? There are denominations out there that promote the more you suffer, the poorer you are, the more godly you are. That makes no sense whatsoever. Otherwise, just look at the whole world, find the poorest person who's suffering the most, and that's the most righteous person. See, that's not how God deals with us. Make sense? But I am saying that although Jesus' burden is light and his yoke is easy, it is very consequential. Although it's a free gift, it can be very costly because there's no such thing as cheap Jesus. Amen. Can I get an amen, church? Amen. And so whether we like it or not, Hebrews 11 ends this way. Now, I want you to understand, I'm a faith guy. I'm word of faith to the core. I mean, like, blab it, grab it, let's do it. I'm in. But make no bones about it. Your prayer does not get to dictate or change God's mind. If he decided to do it a certain way, if we're all excited about I am not late, you better be excited about it after when your expectation was not fulfilled. It's all faith, yay? So I want to take you to Revelation, and this is really where we're going to camp out for the rest of the time that we have together. Revelation, if you would, chapter 3. I don't have time to talk to you about all of the beginning where it talks about seven letters to seven churches. I know my Decoding Revelation group right now, like, you're excited about it, you're thinking about it, and I can't talk about all of those seven churches, but one that I want to highlight is the church in Laodicea, the Laodicean church. This is what it says in Revelation 3:14. To the angel of the church in Laodicea, an angel is the same Greek word as pastor or bishop, so you can call me bishop or angel, which is my boxing name, by the way, so I don't know. Stop. Okay, so to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, to the pastor, these are the words. I know your deeds, that you're neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were either one or the other. So because you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. The Laodicean church is really almost a precise picture of the American church right now. It was a city, but in antiquity, a city would have been more like a city-state. It would have been walled off, had its own army and defense system. So think of it as its own country. And in the same way, it mirrors so much of the United States. It was fairly wealthy. It had some entertainment, which was crazy. It was pretty comfortable. You know that up until the late 1800s, it was only kings and queens and royalty who had any source of entertainment beyond maybe grandpa, you know, picking out a fiddle or something like that. I mean, it was unheard of. And so in Laodicea, they had social clubs and gatherings and activities, and the church was all up in it. Now, listen. It's not a negative thing for you to be involved in culture and to be involved in activities. It's a problem when you look just like the world, because we were called out of that. Nothing wrong with enjoying culture, but they looked exactly like culture. In the example that Jesus gave them, they got it immediately. So the city-state needed water. It was the thing that really fueled everything that they did there. You can water crops. You can obviously drink it. You're watering animals. I mean, you need water to live. And so they had a Roman aqueduct system that went to the Laodicean city-state, and it went all the way there. Now, the source for that water, very interesting, came from a hot spring. How many of you have ever been down to Hot Springs, Arkansas, or maybe to one of the national parks, and you saw that? Okay, Kaya has to restrain me. I mean, she has to hold, I love the water so much. She acts like I'm not her husband when we go to Great Wolf Lodge, okay? And so This Laodicean city-state has water coming to it, and it's sourced from a hot spring. But the way that the aqueducts work is it's kind of like these stone, rock, cement, like little channels that go in, and it's gradually lowering in elevation, and it's a porous outside. And by the time that it gets the water into the city, it's not hot like the hot spring, but it's also not cold. It's right there in the middle. It's kind of like when you know, we have a lot of kids, like 150 kids. And so, you know, like Kai is brewing coffee. Like we're brewing coffee. Get this coffee, you know. And you're drinking it, you know, you're vacuuming, you're cleaning. And all of a sudden you grab a, and it's like right there in the middle, or it's cold. And it's just, you just feel like leaving, you know. I mean, like it's too much. Hot things are healing in the Bible. Hot things are healing. Cold things are refreshing. I'd say that New Chapel's a hot church, wouldn't you? Like, we're on fire. We're like, every sermon ends with take the hill, you know? But I went to, like, Rusty Nail Baptist Church out in the country when I was growing up. And I'd say that we're cold. You're like, you're being negative. No, I'm not. We memorized scripture. We were very reverent. We love the Lord. You're going to share heaven with those people, okay? They just don't know you're going to be there, but it's okay. If you don't like church being loud, you're going to hate heaven. So here's what I'm trying to say. That lukewarm thing, when it went through the aqueducts, it wasn't hot and it couldn't burn off the bad stuff, and it wasn't cold to preserve it. It was the right temperature to culture the wrong things. And what was happening in this church was the wrong things were beginning to culture. They were starting to grow. They just exactly started to look like the world. And a lukewarm Christian is an oxymoron. Do you know what an oxymoron is? It's like a statement or a word that it defies itself. It's a paradox. Like one word's definition defies the definition of the other, but it's grouped together. You know, it's like Microsoft works. I mean, that's just not the case, right? It's like an Instagram privacy policy, right? Come on. I mean, that's funny, you know? Business casual, okay? Independent fact checker. I got one. You're going to love this. Government efficiency. Hey, there you go. There you are. And so a lukewarm Christian, it doesn't exist. That's not that. There's no such animal. That's not what it is. You gotta get on fire, and that's the problem. Is that this passionless thing where we just act like the world, and we have the world's morals, and we have the world's partying and entertainment, and we divorce like the world, and we raise our kids in the world system, and there's no distinction between any of it. And I think that Jesus would say, I don't even recognize. I don't know what you're talking about. There's no such thing as a passionless Christian. You don't understand what it looks like. That's not the church I'm returning for. And I think that's the problem, is that I get golf claps from the front row when I start talking about the thing that makes Jesus puke. I'm old enough now to remember when there was a flu. Remember that? You know, the positive thing about all of this is that you go on Michigan's site, we got like zero cases of the flu, everybody. We beat it. Hey, but I'm old enough to remember when there was a flu, and do you remember if you ever experienced that type of, you'll never do it again, you know, but you don't know you have the flu until you know that you have the flu. It's a noise. Here's what it sounds like. Party foul, you know, like, what is going on? And at first you try to deny it. You're like, I'm grown. I'm not doing this. I'm grown. I'm not going down. And then all of a sudden you get pale, you know, and you get that cold sweat. Somebody looks at you and they're like, you don't look good, you know? And you just do this, because at that point you go to the next level. This is where I go almost immediately. I start concentrating because I think I can will myself out of it. Like, you know, and oh, that didn't work. That made it worse, you know? And so then I'm grown, I'm an adult, and so then I'm trying to think of my exit strategy. I'm looking at the exits, And I faint. I don't know why I faint, but like I faint, you know? And so like I'm thinking, okay, I want to fall on her. I don't want to fall on the door jamb. I'm going to break a tooth, you know? And so I'm just, and let's just say that you get there, right? And you throw up. There's relief when that happens. You know, the amazing thing is women are so wild when that. Kaya's crazy like that. Kaya will come back and she'll be like, what happened? She's like, I just threw up. What? I just threw up. I can't understand what you're saying. Totally different, guys, isn't it? Anybody else a yeller, you know? Let's just be real for a second. When I have to hug the porcelain princess, whoa! You know, then you're looking at it, you're like, that's oily. I don't think that was part of this. I think I needed that, you know? Okay, I'll stop. Some of you are feeling that right now. That's what the flu would have felt like if it ever existed. But do you remember that feeling when I was talking about that first indicator was blah, blah, blah? Is that how Jesus feels about a church in America right now? Like, I don't know what this passionless thing is, but I'm not going to make it. Like, I got to go. This is too much. You think that you're following me, but what you're describing is nasty. I'm getting sick when I think about this thing. You think that you're in a relationship with me because you played tennis with me Sunday to Sunday? You make me want to puke. Serious is called paper cuts, everybody. Like, I don't know what you wanted when you came, but it's pretty serious. And that's what Jesus said to the church in Laodicea, a church very much like America today. Here's my fear as a pastor. I want to show you this. Turn here. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. I want to show you this. This is the fear. I'm not afraid. That's not what I'm saying. But this is the concern. I want to read it for you. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Pause for a second. This isn't describing you having a works relationship with God. It's talking about having a relationship with God to the point where you know what he wants. Hey, Western Michigan, that totally bashes the whole idea of we can never know the will of the Lord. It's mysterious, you know. You better know. Ephesians chapter 5 says, do not be fooled, but understand what the will of the Lord is. I'm just telling you, you better know. Those that did the will of my Father who is in heaven, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not do a whole bunch of stuff? And I'll tell them plainly, I never knew you away from me. What is he saying? I never knew. That word knew is the same word geonosko. It's talking about experiencing God, knowing him from experiencing him, getting to know him. I'm not diminishing being born again. Like, you got to get born again. But your relationship with God is going to be shown by relating and talking and experiencing how he is. Well, we gave a little bit, and I opened up the door for like years at the church. And before the pandemic, we came regularly. Let me just help you out, like Cliff Notes for Heaven. When you get in front of Jesus, don't tell him all the great things you did. Yeah? I know you. I finally get to see you with my eyes. I've been talking to you. I can't wait to hear what you have to say in depth. I want to experience you. Jesus does not want a church, so to speak, that just comes around a lot and visits and has just enough of the Christianese lingo to fake it and fake out other religious people in Western Michigan. He's looking for you to give him your entire life. And when you do that, that's going to broker this thing where it's like, hey, we can be real. Church, we need a relationship with Jesus. That's what you need. You're at a Jesus church, by the way, if you're a first-time visitor. We're all about Jesus. You need that relationship with him. A moment in your life where you can come into the presence of God and say, it's all for you. Thank you so much. I'll be forever marked by your power and your presence. And God, I was so jacked. I was tore back. I was a rank sinner. But you, God, with an outstretched arm, set my feet on a rock. I don't have to relate to who I was. I can relate to who you made me to be. God, thank you for my identity in you. I find my peace in you. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives, but it's Christ who lives on the inside of me. God, I'm living out of that spot, and I want to serve you. Knowing him. Knowing who he is. Have you ever had that? To some people, Jesus is going to say, we never had that. You got to get out of here. We're done playing games. And so, gang, we have to realize that, and for me as a pastor, my fear is that Scripture says I'm held to a higher judgment. I don't know all that means, but let's just imagine that I'm at the gate when you show up. How's that going to work if that's what's said? You know what I mean? I'm not creating all these messages and experiences to have a moment where it's like, wait a second, you were on the go team, and like, what's happening? I want you to know him and experience him. You will learn a ton about him when you're in relationship with him, but if you approach him intellectually, you're never going to get a relationship with God. It's not enough just to believe that he's right. Do you remember what it says in James? The Bible says that even the demons call him Lord and they shudder. Well, they're not born again just because they call him Lord. When we say prayers and say, hey, if you say that Jesus is Lord, you'll be saved. Yeah, that's true. If you call him Lord, boss, like I give my life to you, right? It's not talking about saying magic words. If you say these words, people of faith do this every once in a while. I'm a believing and speaking guy, right? But people can get believing and speaking so much that they make that into witchcraft. Because your faith is in a person, not just in words. It's in the words that were said by a person. Make sense? That's how faith is relational. That's how your faith is relational. And so the question I have for you is this. Have you been informed or have you been transformed? Do you have a lot of information about God? I'm going to tell you, the denominational mafia will do a hit on me in 2 seconds and try to prove me. It's modern Pharisees. I mean, they know a lot. But do you know him? Are you in love with him? You know, it took this wild pandemic for me to have a ton in common with John MacArthur. John MacArthur's one of those guys that don't think I'm going to heaven, I think. But John MacArthur's that pastor in California that opens up his service by saying, welcome to the peaceful protest at our church. And everybody cheers, you know. All of a sudden, these churches of different denominations and backgrounds, all of a sudden we realize we're not fighting with each other. We're fighting against a real enemy that wants to eat our lunch, wants to send everybody that you know and love to hell, wants to kill your kids. That's the enemy, folks. Let's place the war on the right front. And that to say, have you been transformed inside out? Because if you just know about God, I think that you're missing something massive, because there's a transformation that God wants to do. It's what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. When someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He's not the same anymore. A new life has begun. This should radically change everything about who you are and what you focus on in life. Instead, I think that what we want to think of Jesus is a great improvement to our life. He's going to improve the plans that I have. He's going to improve these things. The reality is he's offering you life. Eternal, begins the moment you accept him, at the expense of ambition and your plans and the things you purpose to do for his purpose. It's an exchange. And when that happens, there's clarity and freedom like nothing the world can give. I have 2 points in this message. I'm going to read a scripture and give you the first point. Matthew 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if you want to be my follower, you want to be a Christian, you got to give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. Point one, lay down your life. Lay down your life. Bible says that you've been crucified with Christ. Now, I get it. That dead man wants to rear his head. They think Walking Dead was like novel for us. Christians have been living Walking Dead since Christ rose from the dead, because your flesh wants you to do crazy things, but you've been crucified with Christ. You've given it to him. Jesus didn't come to make everything in your life a little better, and he didn't come as the grease to make your plans work. He came to take all of your plans, pancake your life so you can live the truest life, the best life that he has for you. Matthew 16, 24. This is the God's Word translation. Jesus said, those who want to come with me must say no to the things that they want. No to the things that they want to do, the desires to do it our way. Now hear me for a second. I am not saying that you cannot enjoy your life. In fact, I would argue tooth and nail that when you become a Christian, you have a more enjoyable life than you would in the world. I'm not saying that you can't enjoy culture. Again, just can't look like culture. I'm not saying that you can't enjoy our nation. I do. I mean, I'm American flags and country music, everybody. Like, you know, let's do it, you know? But if there comes a point where I have to make a decision in between serving God or any of the other things that I can enjoy but not identify with, I'm going to tell you, 10 out of 10 times I'm going to side with God. I'm not bowing to the world. When the rubber meets the road, I'm going to bow to Jesus. And I got to tell you that when you lay things down and do it His way, that's where the plans actually start to come together. He gave His life for me, and the only appropriate response is for complete and total surrender from me. Your heart is given over to Him. That's where you would say this: I don't get to choose what parts of the Bible I believe and what parts of the Bible I don't believe. I don't get to choose my morality. I don't get to choose what I do with my finances. I don't get to choose my relationships in life. I don't get to choose how I lead my wife or my kids. I've surrendered. Does that make sense, everybody? He's either Lord of all or He's not Lord at all. That's a big deal. Moving on to point two, Matthew 16. He says, give up your own way and take up your cross and follow me. Number two, two-point message, pick up His life. Pick up His way of doing and being right. Listen to me. I love you. God has a purpose for your life. God loves you. He wants you to be the best version of yourself that you can be, but it's found in submission to Him. Now, it's not a physical cross that Jesus is asking you to take up. How many of y'all have seen that guy or those people that they have a cross, they got a little wheel in the back or whatever? God bless them. That's not my fight today. In fact, I think a lot of them have effective ministries. But maybe even ours is a little bit heavier. It has more consequence. Let me put it that way. Now, Jesus will make your burden light. This much is true. But that doesn't mean that there's not hard decisions that are involved with you taking up His life, taking up your cross. It is a life of consequence. Now, He took it up. Why? Because the joy set before Him. And what was it? It was you. And so the idea would be that you take up your cross daily in relationship with Him. You're happy to do it. It's out of heart, saying, God, I'll do it for you. Again, this is not a works gospel, but out of your relationship. When you're in love with somebody, you want to do stuff. Guy had me out there planting rose bushes in my yard. The devil, everybody. Like, I don't want to do that. But I love her. And she loves roses. Makes sense? And so we need to be people that say yes to the life that Christ gave us. It doesn't matter what it costs me. It doesn't matter what comes my way, what adversity that I face, what pain that I have to endure, what relationships I have to sever or that sever themselves from me. At the end of the day, it's all about God. Say amen, somebody. Acts chapter 20, what is your life for? Here it is. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I might finish the race and complete the task that the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. I love that word. It's all of us. It's not preacher. You want revival and you're like, sick 'em, Pastor Joe. That's not revival. That's me in the hospital exhausted. Revival is all of us coming together and making that difference together. The only reason why you or I are sucking air in this world today is because there's people outside of these walls and some inside that are far from God, and they need this message of relationship with God Almighty in their life. Not the message of right ritual and religion, but relationship found through Christ. And listen to me, the Republic is angry, and His church is waking up. What do we do? What next steps do we take? On Thursday of this week, I finished this message and I was so full of I came out to Pastor Brian. I said, I want to do baptisms. Just to let you know, in church culture, typically what you do is you wait until just after Easter to do baptisms. It's a very normal thing. We're going to do that. And you'd save up these baptisms now, and you say, just wait a couple months. And you know what I felt in my spirit? That is not where our church is right now. If you've accepted Christ, we need to get you wet. Because the devil is going to throw you curveballs. And the hardest thing for your next step is you getting wet. Hello, we need you to learn obedience with getting wet so that when the curveballs of life come, you don't bow to this world. And so next week, there's the baptismal, which is a horse trough from the country, everybody. Next week, we're having baptisms. If you haven't been baptized, I want you to get baptized. In fact, I'm going to quote the Bible. I'm going to quote what the Apostle Paul says. If you haven't been baptized, I command you to be baptized. I command you. But I want to talk to the men for a second. You're a big boy. I want dinner when I come home, you know. I wear the pants in this family, so do I. She just picks them out, you know. I mean, I'm good. You know. Always been husky, but you're the man. Your family knows if you've been baptized or not. Why don't you lead your family? Lead them next week. Why don't you be the first down? Why don't you fight other men? If we have a fight breakout because of people trying to get to the altar tub, I'm going to post that on Facebook and believe God that it gets through, because nothing I do does. But men, why don't you lead your home? I'm going to tell you what happens if you don't do this. If we wait for some religious reasons so Aunt Marietta can come and she's going to give you a white Bible, if you wait for religious reasons, what you're going to teach your kids is when God is stirring your heart to do a next step, you can put the pause button on God. That's what you'll teach them. I'm just asking you to get wet, not stay home for a year. You did that. I didn't. Moving forward. Baptism's next week. Is there a sign up in the back? I don't know if Brian's. There might be a sign up or not. We don't need a sign up. We have all the shorts and shirts that you need. We've got socks. We have underwears for boys and girls, for children of all ages. We have FHPs. If you know what it is, God bless you. I don't want to say it. We have hair stuff. We have everything that you need. You can change into clothes, get baptized, and leave with your same clothes. And you might look better than when you came, okay? So, like. But if you've never been baptized, listen to me. I love you with everything in me. It's time, to quote Pastor Tommy, to stop playing patty cake. And it's time to jump in. God's asking you to get wet. There's hard things coming. You need to build that obedience muscle. Second thing, I've never done this before in my ministry. I used to just crawl up in a ball when other guys would do it. And the fact of the matter is, this is not something that I wanted, but it's something that if I don't do, I don't know with a good conscience that I can move forward. House Resolution 5, called the Equality Act, has nothing to do with equality. One of the people that are a strong proponent of this bill openly said, recorded, that God's will has no place in this house. And you look through there, you think equality, well, that's a good thing. It's not talking about racial equality. It largely has to do with sexual rights, but they're not rights. Listen to me. If you've got some hang-up, that doesn't give you special rights above everybody else. And especially some of these people that wrote this bill, they've mutilated their own body, and they're believers in this thing. They want to do it to your children, and they also want the sole right to educate the next generation. The dangerous thing about H.R. 5 is this. It repeals a law signed by, of all people, Bill Clinton, called the Religious Liberty Act, or something of that sort. Here's what it did. It made it so that if somebody came here and was not in good standing and wanted to get married, they could try to force me to do it. By the way, if you're asking, don't bow. Number two, if I did that, they could then sue us as they could any other business and try to get damages in a civil court. They could further lock me up or any other proponent if I read out of this book scriptures that directly deal with certain sins. Can we all read between the lines right now? Is that all right? You say, Pastor, I don't like this. You're talking about politics. Buddy, this is not political at all. That's a bunch of jokers that got elected that are stepping on my feet. This is my territory. And what they're doing is they're raising trans and other devious sexual rights over the religious freedom of so many other people. And it's wrong. Well, what are we going to do about it? I want you to write this phone number down. 202. And I'll say it twice. 202-224-3121. That number again, 202-224-3121. That'll get you to the Capitol switchboard. People have been calling the state. That's not the capital you want to call the federal government capital. Now, we have two senators from the state that are demon-possessed. That's hyperbole, but they vote that way. I'm going to tell you something about them. They're for it. It passed the House already. It's going to the Senate floor. And Jezebel, if she has to break a tie, will go in favor of this thing. What do you do about it? I'm not a politician. Those of you that know me, you've known I've never done this. You need to call and tell them, we oppose this with everything. You make it hard for them to stand for this thing. You let them know that there is a church in America that is not going to put up with this junk, and that if you start elevating sexually deviant behavior above the religious liberty, I am not going into other people's world and trying to harass their lifestyle. I think that the people that show up and picket funerals are sick. That's not what we're doing here. This is talking about freely preaching the word of God. Now you say, what if it passes, Pastor Joe? God have mercy on them. If they try to silence the word of God, we're going to explode. But we don't want it. We want godliness. We need to pray for those that are in governing authority over us so that we can live quiet and peaceable lives. We don't want the government stepping on our feet. Not my feet. Somebody give me a little bit more amen. It takes a lot to say things like that. I love you. I'm going to tell you, if you want freedom in this world, you're going to have to show them the freedom that comes from Christ, because their version of freedom is cuckoo. Okay, next thing, third thing. This is a big deal. If our life is all to preach the gospel, then next week is a huge deal for you. New series called The Good News Gospel. Hopefully it's a little lighter than today, you know? Here's why this is important. We're growing right now as a church, not really because I'm doing anything different. In fact, I've been doing the same thing for 8 years. It's because you're doing something different. You're inviting friends and family. You're sharing this. You're saying, I can't believe what that guy said, you know? And you got to get in. I don't know what it is, but there's life in the house. And so people are coming, and they're finding a relationship with Jesus. And I think that we have 7 people already that want to get baptized. It's unbelievable. We just did baptisms. And so listen, here's what this is going to be. This is going to be an opportunity to welcome those friends and family. It's also going to be an opportunity for us to learn how to be an influence on the world that's around us. And here's what I'm proposing. That we go find those people that are in hiding and not harass them. I don't want people to feel uncomfortable with that, but we go love them out of that thing. So people stop hiding in the shadows and they come and gather with the local church, because there's life in the house, everybody. That little invite that was put on the seat today, sure, it's for you. At least put it on your fridge. At best, give it to someone else that's just wandering in life right now. I've heard of so many stories of people taking their lives, and in this whole pandemic, more stories of suicide than in my entire life combined. I mentioned that last service. And a mom came up talking about a boy that attends this church that's in Pinerest today because of that. Thank God he's alive. Friends, the stakes are high. We are living in desperate times. These are evil days. There is a world outside of these four walls, and they are hurting, and they don't know that sin doesn't work, and they don't know that God loves them and has a plan for their life. They don't know that Jesus is the answer. But listen to me, listen to me. The message is not going to come from a passionless, milky toast, compromised church. It's going to come when normal believers, followers of Jesus, stand up. In fact, why don't you do it? And they say, no. You can say what you want about me. You can try to ostracize me. You can try to shut me down. You will never shut this mouth. The gospel will go forward. Kings and kingdoms and countries and presidents have tried to silence this gospel, and nothing has been successful since. So together, we'll make an influence, but we can't be compromised. We have to be pure before God, and every devil in hell needs to know, every devil in Grand Rapids needs to know that there is a church on 4 Mile that will stand. And I'm going to tell you something. You think standing for freedom in other areas is unrelated. The freedom that you bring out in other areas, it all relates back to God. And so when we pick the battle of we will stand before God, we will not bow. I'm telling you, God's spirit is on that. Jesus is the answer, but he's coming for a church that will stand when things are hard, a church that will go on top of a roof and have a drive-in, a church that will open when everybody's a little bit tight about it, and a church that says this: the gospel never changes, the truth never changes, the paper may cut, but it's all for your benefit. God, we love you today. We thank you for who you are in our lives. God, we thank you for your spirit moving in our church. Lord, I thank you that you're speaking to people's hearts in the room. God, for some people, they see a place of compromise, a place that they know that they have to get that back in alignment, because it's just not who you've called them to be. God, there's people in the room today, watching today, that are living out this fake popcorn Christianity that's not real. God, there's a desire in their heart for the real thing. I pray that they find it at the cross. God, there's people that have never known you in the room. There's people that are watching that have never confessed you as Lord, as Jesus is Lord. And because of that, God, they're living death. And you have life for them. So, Lord, I pray that if there's anybody that doesn't know you, help me to find them. With heads bowed and eyes closed, in just a second, we're going to pray. If you pray this, it's just something that's vain repetition. You're repeating a prayer, and it's magic words, friend, you'll leave the same way you came. But if you're tired of normal and you're ready to break up the order of things, be fully devoted to your God who's fully devoted to you, it's found on the other end of making Jesus Lord and on the other end of amen. Eternal life doesn't start when you die. It starts the moment that you accept Christ, and the peace you're looking for can be found today. Church, as a declaration of your faith, I want you to pray this out loud with those that are praying it for the first time. Pray this with me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross in my place for my sins so I can be forgiven. You raised him from the dead. This I believe. So with my heart and with these words, I confess, Jesus Christ is my Lord. I surrender now. Jesus, I call on you. Come into my life. Forgive my sins. Put your spirit in me. I receive all that you have for me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for making all things new. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give it up for those people that accepted Christ. Louder than that new chapel, from death to life. Come on. You can stay standing. I'll be quick. But listen, if you accepted Christ in this place, you got to let me know about it. There's public things like baptism that we do, but this is a private thing. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I want to connect with you. Because you need to know what to do next. Sure, baptism, getting plugged into a church. There's things that are going to help you. Connect with me the same way that first-time visitors are, that those that have prayer requests are. Grab a connection card or fill one out online. Check the box that says, I accepted Christ. I want to send you that note. And further, you're going to be put on a prayer list. I'm going to be praying for you by name for the next 6 weeks. In the world that we're living in, don't you want to know that somebody is praying your name out loud? Come on, somebody. And so we love you and we're proud of you. We prayed that prayer at one time, and so you're not alone. If you came with somebody and they prayed that prayer and you peaked, you have absolution, my son. You get them to fill out that connection card. You understand? Because we want to get them that information. One more time for those people that accepted Christ. Wow. Now, after church today, if you're on the go team, we are having a go team rally point. So if you're on the team, how about this? If you'd like to be on the team or want more information about it, don't leave. And we've got health food. I think it's Little Caesars. And we got Coke and water. And I prayed for it, guys. And so it's calorie free and carb free. But listen, also, if you took New Chapel Connect last week and joined the church, which, by the way, we had 7 people join the church this last week. Last week, we had the most amount of people join the church in one day. We had the most amount of people serving on one service. And then more things to say as we move on. But suffice it to say, if you went to Partnership 1, come to Engagement 2, eat with us, have some relationship, and then come in as your class begins. That way we can get to know you. And then finally, next week, baptisms. Men, I'm looking at you. I want to see it just get loaded at the front. In fact, I'm probably going to dismiss men first. So men of the home, let's get wet. Let's get baptized. Let's show this nation what it's like to live in a godly way. Right? Desperate times, yeah? Can't wait for next week. I love you. May the Lord bless you, keep you, make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, and may the Lord give you boldness to stand in Jesus' name. And as you go, have a great week, guys. I love you.
We hope that you were encouraged and brought closer to God during this message. You can listen to any of our past messages and series either on this podcast or on newchapel.com/watch. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook or Instagram to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.